He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I think it's a standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello everyone, hello and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I of course am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California, along with Eric Williams. Eric, how you doing?
Not so much. Same old Matt. I just, you know, I told you before we went on air, I said I'll be right with you in 2 minutes. And had to make a quick run to the car to get the headset. And, you know, we're here.
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we
can
are here.
Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can hear you good.
Okay.
We are here. We're ready to go. We got a big, big show today. Big show. Ladies and gentlemen.
The big show's going to be here? What? The big show's going to be here? Wow, I'm pumped.
No, I didn't. Why are you telling the fans that the big show is going to be here? No, I said it's going to be a big show. We have a big show for them. That's what I said.
Okay. I thought you were saying the big show is going to be there. I was going to be like, well, that's breaking news. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that would be big. That would be.
Literally big. It's always something here on this Sports Opinion Show. Never gets old. It always seeks to entertain me.
Exactly, especially with Extra Baggage being our subject title of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, we like I said, we've got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to. First, we're going to run down our NFL picks for the week. Of course, we've got that very, well, it's not controversial, but it is controversial in some people's minds, the Monday night game that took place. And what happened after the television cameras went off the air from the Monday night football game? It is out of control. Peyton Manning, he is about to go crazy. He's about to kill someone, Eric. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a guest that's going to stop by in the next hour right here. Right, Eric?
Yep.
Very cool, very cool. And also, ladies and gentlemen, towards the end of the show, I'm going to give you a trivia question, a little Q&A. If you'd like, if you think you know the answer, you can call us at 347-637-2306. And this time it's different because I didn't discuss with Eric what the question was. So even he doesn't know. And he probably will get the answer wrong. So that will, of course, take place towards the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for all that. Man, I tell you. But, you know,
I did get a chance to watch TNA last night. We can go over that if we want. I'll, you know, do my bit and piece, my little rant on my TNA rant. A little bit later on the show, got to watch TNA for the first time in about eight months. It was the first time in 8 months that I watched TNA yesterday for the first time. some things I liked, some things I didn't like. More I didn't like than I liked. There was a few things I liked, but, you know, we'll get to that later.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, though. Breaking news just coming in. Well, it's about 3 hours old. Well, my friends at the shutdown corner, because the NFL wants to now consider themselves to be top-notch. And what that simply means is that they might be able to have a Super Bowl in stormy weather because, you know, they've done this thing before, they said. They said it's been done before. It's been done since the NFL first started. The idea of having a Super Bowl was always prop and circumstance and high entertainment and bringing music artists and such to be a part of the Super Bowl, which is the biggest deal in the world of sports. But what would happen if the Super Bowl was to take place according to the New York, New Jersey area? It would definitely be cold. Eric, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I would like to see it in Philadelphia, but with snow, that's a good possibility that that could be a potential waste of a disaster. So, I don't know. I'd say stick with the warm weather, maybe even a dome. But hell, I mean, it is the game of football. You know, what are you going to do? You know, say we're only going to play it in the warm weather? You know, clearly this is an issue with money, and they want to make more money. They want to have, you know, they want to be able to have these concerts, you know, whoever, Beyonce, you know, Matt Albers' current girlfriend, Beyonce, you know, his ex-girlfriend, you know, Pamela Anderson, his future girlfriend, Taylor Swift, you know.
Oh, God.
Girls of those people, you know, they want to, you know, favorite bands like Justin Timberlake or Jay-Z. They want to be able to have these people. They don't want to have to worry about, well, what if it snows? Or what if it rains? Or what if it thunders? I mean, remember last year, the blackout, you know, that's not rain or that's not snow. That's a blackout, you know. I mean, these things can happen. It's the game of football.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Who knows? We got DDP in the chat room with us.
What's up, DDP? What's going on?
And also, really quickly, let's get this out of the way. Got to say happy birthday to my friends at the group. Got to say happy birthday to our member of the group, Tony.
You're not going
to
just say it. What do we do? What do we say? Every time there's a member of the group, we got to sing. Got to sing happy birthday.
Let's
so on three, one, two. I don't even know who it's for, but hey, we'll get there when we get there. Happy birthday. Come on,
birthday.
Happy birthday
to you.
You. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tony.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more?
Yes, many years to come. Happy birthday, Tony. Craig, you can definitely pass that along. Craig, by the way, is in Indianapolis, Indiana. He is the man in charge of the group. They're in Indianapolis, Indiana. He's there at a local McDonald's. McDonald's, I love your fries. I love your fries. I love everything about that place.
Yo, Craig, if you're, like, listening and you can post something on the Sports Opinions Facebook, Sports Opinions Show Facebook page, put us on speaker for a couple minutes and let me see the, let's hear the reaction of these people. I don't know if he could do it. Or is he working there, or is he just, like, does he go there?
No, he just goes there. Sometimes he goes to the library and listens to us. But I guess the library is not really commonplace. You can't get that many people interested in a show because the library is like, shh. But in a public place like McDonald's, hell, nobody cares.
Right. So, yo, put this sucker on speaker right now, Craig. I'm going to say this right now. Put me on speaker, all right? I'm going to say this. All right? And when you're about to do that, I'm going to be a good, what's up, McDonald's?
I think they already heard you because, you know, he always tells me that everybody gathers around his laptop and like, what the hell's going on over there? And he says, come on over and check it out.
Yo, well, I'm sure McDonald's over in Indianapolis. Yo, go check that. Yo, go check them out. Let's get a, you know, I think, you know, one day I'm going to need a picture of myself in that McDonald's, you know, to walk in there. And presumably not the bathroom. Presumably it should be somewhere nice, maybe the seating area for McDonald's. But, you know, maybe one day when I go travel to Indianapolis, whenever that will be, so stop in this place, this McDonald's, and I'll probably get a few weird-eye looks from somebody. But you never know where I might be the next week, you know. You never know where I'm going to be. Might just show up in San Leandro, California.
Well, that would be something if you showed up here, Eric. That would
on your front doorsteps. You see the door, the doorbell ring or whatever, door knock or whatever, and you just open the door and it's me. And I'm like, I'm here.
by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And also to you, Eric Williams, if you guys happen to hear, you know, like a saw buzzing or something like that going zzz, or a drill or anything, ignore that if you hear that behind me, because what we've got going on here at my apartment complex, we have a huge lobby downstairs, and they want to take the carpet out, and I think they want to make it concrete or something like that. So, you know, This kind of goes along with the show because, you know, like we said about the whole, whether they want to play in the snow for the Super Bowl one of these years. And I've done this when I used to be in retail. And we would make decisions and I'd say, well, you're the boss. I just work here. Same thing here. I just live here. It's their apartment. They want to make concrete now in the lobby instead of damn carpet because they don't like it anymore. So that's what they're doing downstairs. They told us, you're prisoners now. You can't go anywhere today, which is fine. I got to be here for the show anyways.
Wait, did they say you can't really go anywhere?
Well, we can go. We can leave. We just have to leave out the back door and go all the way around.
Okay. It is what it is. You gotta deal with it sometimes, you know.
Yeah, like I said, I just live here. It's their building. They want to make changes. That's up to them. So that is what is going on. So Eric, how do you feel about the picks for last week?
Give me one second. I gotta set something up and then I'll be ready for the picks. Well, hold on. See, are we going into the picks? Because I kind of set myself up for a certain spot in the room. So if we're doing the picks, I got to go over to where I can be able to write. So give me one second.
All right, I'll give you a second.
All right, I'm ready to go.
Oh, you're ready to go? All right, then.
Last week, Matt was 7-7. He had 7 wins, which boosted his 3-week. The past 3 weeks of doing the picks to a whopping 18-21 overall record. However, he is trailing me, who I was 8-6 this week in my picks. I remember last week, the week before, I had a five win week, and it was bad. But in the 3 weeks we've been doing this, I have a total of 23 wins and 16 losses. Matt is trailing me by 5. five wins this week, and you know, hopefully he has another big week this, or has a decent week this week, and can sort of find his way in front of me for his sake, not for my sake, but. But yeah, that's what we stand at. I stand at 23. Matt stands at 18, and you know, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you saw it last night, you know that New Orleans beat Atlanta 17-13. That is the final score. I don't remember who I picked for the Thursday night game last week.
We didn't do the picks last week on Thursday, so we did picks on Friday.
Let's get into this Sunday's picks. We'll see what happens between me and Eric. Let's see. First up, we got Carolina and Miami.
Carolina-Miami is going to be an interesting game. This game is a 1 p.m. game. It should be a decent game. Carolina is would currently be the fifth seed in the playoffs. They're 7-3, 3-2 on the road, and they're playing a 5-5 Miami team who is 3-2 at home, missing two of the five offensive linemen, their starters. Since the Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin case. I don't see this being a problem for Carolina as they're on a sort of a stride, but they have not played New Orleans yet. And I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers this week.
All right. Sounds good. But I don't see that happening. I'm going to go with Miami this week. Miami will go. Go.
Go.
I don't know
go.
What the hell has even to do with it. But
I don't
whatever.
Know what you
said that. Yeah. The next one is Chicago and St. Louis.
You see, this is interesting because Chicago currently sits at 6-4, and they are playing on the road at St. Louis, and on the road they're 2-2. However, St. Louis, coming in with a 4-6 record, they really need to figure out what they're going to do. They're kind of on that fence. They are last in the NFC West, but they're two games out of San Francisco, so they're not eliminated from the playoffs. Chicago is without Jay Cutler this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with St. Louis this week.
Well, as it relates to no Jay Cutler this week, I still think that they can keep the momentum going that they've created. So I'm reluctant to do this, but I'm going to go with Chicago, okay?
Okay.
Next one on the card is the Jets and Baltimore.
This should be an interesting game as well. The Jets are riding a 5-5, .500 record, and Baltimore is 4-6 on the year. Baltimore is playing really good at home this year, 3-1 at home. The Jets are horrible on the road at 1-4, but the only thing with Baltimore is their offense is ranked 30th in the league. In offense, they're averaging 20.8 points a game. The Jets, however, are only scoring 18 points a game. I'm going to go with Baltimore this week, and I'm going to, you know, take Baltimore to get a home victory, another home victory. So, go with Baltimore.
I'm going to go with the Jets. I always go with the Jets. That's just me. That's the way it is. And it is the way it is with DDP, who I know is very, very upset that my Raiders were triumphant against the Houston Texans. But this week, DDP, you might have your chance. You guys are taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars this week.
Right. And Jacksonville is bad. Jacksonville is 1-9 going up against Houston, who is 2-8. Houston is 1-4 at home. They do give up a lot of points. They average to giving up 27 points a game. DDP's going to not like me for this one, but I'm going with the Jacksonville Jaguars to take a victory. I just don't think that Houston has a mojo. So I'm going to go with the Jaguars here.
I think, you know, because DDP had to put up with me last week, I'm going to do him a favor. I'm going to do him, try and do him some justice. I'm going to help you out, DDP. I'm going to go with the Texans this week.
So we've actually went opposite every game so far this week.
Yes, we have. And we'll see how we fare with the next one, because the next one is Minnesota and Green Bay. This is going to be a good game, Eric.
Well, Minnesota is 2-8 this year. And they are 0-5 on the road playing a Green Bay Packers team with quarterback Scott Tolzien. And they're 3-2 at home. This game is going to be very interesting for Green Bay. If they win, they can pretty much keep the momentum off of Chicago. It'll pretty much put them back in that three-way tie or a two-way tie with Chicago for a playoff spot. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers this week.
Well, let's see. Yeah, we're still not together on this. I don't see that happening. I see Minnesota winning. I really do. So I'm going with Minnesota this week. All right. Next one we got to deal with is Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
And Pittsburgh and Cleveland both have the same record, 4-6. Pittsburgh is god awful on the road, 1-4 on the road. Cleveland, though, however, is only 3-2 on the at home. And with with Pittsburgh's resurgence last week beating Detroit, going with Pittsburgh this week.
Wow.
Which would put, which as of right now, a victory with all the games that we have picked so far, the Pittsburgh Steelers, if the season ended today, would be the sixth seed in the playoffs playing the New England Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Browns this week. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns. Next up, we have Tampa Bay and Detroit for you, Eric.
Hold on 1 second. Just lost all my... Okay. So you got the Browns this week. All right. And we have Tampa Bay and Detroit. And this one's going to be interesting. Tampa Bay is 2-8, 0-4 on the road. Detroit, however, is 6-4, and they are currently sitting at the third in the third seed. If the playoffs would have started today, they'd be the third seed. They are scoring points, 26 points a game, and the Jaguars only scoring 18 points a game. I'm going with Detroit this week. I feel that Detroit is going to bounce back from that loss last week to Pittsburgh to get their, they're going to take it out on Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So since I agree with you, I have no choice but to go with Detroit on this one as well. So that should make feel better, I hope. San Diego and Kansas City.
All right, that's going to be an interesting game because Kansas City has got their first loss However, it was on the road at Denver, and San Diego at 4-6, not mathematically eliminated yet from the playoffs, but they are 2-4 on the road, and Kansas City is undefeated at home. I think Kansas City bounces back big and beats San Diego this week at home. So the Chiefs, I'll take the Chiefs.
Well, I'm going to take San Diego on this one. That's who I'm picking. And, of course, you definitely know who I'm picking for the next team on the card. It's Tennessee versus Oakland. I've got to go with my Oakland boys. We've been doing so well, very well in the last few weeks.
See, Oakland has a new quarterback. It's Matt McGloin, a former Penn State quarterback. Oakland and Tennessee both have the same record, 4-6. Oakland's 3-2 at home. Tennessee is 2-2 on the road. And Tennessee is giving up 22 points a game. Oakland's only scoring 19. I'm going with Tennessee this week.
All right. We'll see who wins this one for sure. The next one up is for Craig Brooks and everybody in Indianapolis because it's the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Arizona Cardinals.
Maybe this selection that I'm about to give will end up having my picture in that McDonald's bathroom instead of the viewing area because, honestly, the Colts have been good and then they've been bad. They've looked inconsistent. They're 4-1 on the road, which is an alarming number because they are better on the road than they are at home. And they're playing on the road at Arizona, who is Arizona's 4-1 at home. And this could be a good game. Carson Palmer had a really big game last week. However, it was against Jacksonville. Arizona definitely needs to start winning some games. I'm going with the Cardinals on this one in an upset over Indianapolis. And that would put them in the playoffs if the season ended today with the sixth seed.
Well, sixth seed or not, I'm going to go with Indianapolis Colts here. I see a lot of potential here. I really do for this game. The next game up, of course, is Dallas and the Giants.
This is an interesting game because both teams, the Giants have found a resurgence. Offensively, defensively, they've been really good at home. They're 3-2 at home. Dallas is horrible on the road, 1-4, and they are second place to my Philadelphia Eagles this week, who are on the bye this week. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys this week.
All right, I know we've had a caller on the line for quite a while. 347. 498. Eric, is that for you or?
No.
All right, we'll see who this is. Maybe they have an opinion.
I don't think they're going to make the wild card. That's my personal. I think they're going to. This is going to be a bad second of the season for us.
But I'm just telling you, if they can, I was just looking over the other day. In my mind, the one wild card's already in the possession of either KC or Denver. It comes down to one more wild card in the AFC. You Jets and Steelers. In Miami.
Yeah, well, I mean, next couple weeks are, good weeks for us.
Exactly.
We got Baltimore coming up. We got Miami coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. One game at a time, right?
How are you doing?
I'll feel good, but I mean, we're in the midst of a quarterback controversy over here. So
I understand
that. What's going on with this team, you know?
I understand. Is everything all well in New York City?
Everything's all good in NYC.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call on my podcast, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to your family.
Cowpole, later, brother. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, I don't know what happened there. I don't know how that got on here. That was kind of strange, wouldn't you say, Eric?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Anyway.
Maybe it was somebody calling in, too, and then he was talking to somebody else on, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Let's see, I lost my train of thought. Do we already do pick for Dallas and Giants?
We were about to go over the game. I picked the Cowboys this week. you had to give me your pick.
I will take the Giants this week.
All right.
And, of course, Denver and New England.
Denver and New England. Denver coming off of a big win in against Kansas City last week. They're sitting at 9-1. Their only loss was on the road, and they're playing on the road at 5-0 on a team that's at 5-0 at home, and that's the New England Patriots. A bit of controversy this past week during that Monday night game with Rob Gronkowski, and they picked up that threw that flag, and then they picked it up, and people were confused, and that, you know, I know a bunch of New England fans were screaming and howling on NFL on Sirius Radio about that call, and you know they basically said, well, hey, it is what it is. You can't ref with a playbook with y'all. A rule book all the time, and you know it is what it is. However, Denver is going to be the fifth seed as of this moment because I had picked the Chiefs to win. But I'm going to go with Denver, and I'm going to take Denver over New England, and that would put them back in the number one seed with the home field advantage, knocking the Kansas City Chiefs to the five seed.
All right. I'm kind of stuck. Let's see. They're trying to go after them. I think I will go with you. I will go with Denver as well.
Right.
And, of course, our last and final game, Monday Night Football, it will be San Francisco taking on the Washington Redskins. Do you think the Niners have a chance here, Eric?
You know, San Francisco, they played last week, and it was interesting. I'll tell you that right now. Penalties, stupid mistakes by San Francisco cost them that game. San Francisco, somebody got a fine. The hit on Breeze, we got like a $16,000 fine or something like that. And the Redskins looked horrible against Philadelphia. They made that late surge late in the fourth quarter. But earlier this week, there's been some controversy with Santana Moss and RG3 saying that RG3 is not happy with the play calling, and offense coordinator Kyle Shanahan is, you know, going back and forth, and Mike Shanahan, the head coach, is just, you know, saying, well, we're doing what we want to do. But the kicker here is that Washington isn't a bad team defensively. They have a very good good player in London Fletcher, a veteran who made a nice hit on Nick Foles last week, and you know I thought it would have ended his day. It didn't, but I'm going with San Francisco to avenge that loss last week. So that's what I'm going to think.
I'm going to go with Washington this week.
Now, that's a surprising game because I really didn't think that Washington would get anybody picking them after last week's game against Philadelphia. But if you think that Washington's going to beat San Francisco, I mean, more power to you.
yeah, that's...
Oh, we will see how this picks come out this week. Hopefully, for my sake, it turns out better than that, but, that's just me. That's just me.
Right. We'll see what happens with these picks. We'll see who gets the best picks overall when we come back next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to seriously review the Monday night game and the aftermath of what happened with that game.
Hey, fans. fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Better.
Hey. That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Albrecht.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. During that commercial break, I had to refresh my chat room because Coffee had informed me on social media that I was not in the chat room. But I always have to refresh the chat room. It's Blog Talk Radio. It's the way they are. And we already know that, right, Eric? I guess Eric is the charts, too. One or the other. So, let's see here.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why we're having with that, but
I don't know how you see what I mean. Blog Talk Radio, come on, you got to help us out. I'm hanging here, live on the air. You can't do this to us. It seems that you were on hold, but I assure you, Eric, I never put you on hold. I didn't even hit that button. That was
right.
That was strange. That was really strange.
Yeah,
now that we've got Eric, well, we've got you back. That's all that matters. But Eric, did you see the Monday night game between the Patriots and the Panthers?
Well, yeah, I was alluding to that before. You know, that when we were talking about the picks with the holding penalty, the flag getting picked up, you know, all that. I got to watch a little bit of it, and from what I saw, it was interesting. It was a really good game, though.
Yeah, it was a good game, but the ending brought a lot of controversy. It was a very controversial play, and according to the rules, it should have been called pass interference, and everybody says, well, now that the NFL has created these new rules, what does the new rule state? Well, here they are. Here's a list of the new rules and what the referees, these officials, could have done about this, and they can do this in the future if it happens again. Because the NFL has even said that, you know, violations, four of them were made with him being the referee in charge here. They should have been called contact by a player who is not playing the ball that restricts the opponent's opportunity to make the catch. The other new rule is grabbing an opponent's arm in such a manner that restricts his opportunity to actually catch a pass. You can no longer grab someone's arm, Eric. They're afraid you're going to break somebody's arm. Another new thing for the rules this year is extending your arm across someone's body. Like if I was to jump in front of Eric, that still is also now pass interference. It used to be in the past where people were allowed to do that, where players were allowed to jump in front of him, and if the ball bounced off their chest, hey, that's not pass interference. Well, that's not, you know, liable anymore. Because it creates a regarding less of whether the player commits such an act is actually pass interference. And also cutting off the path, you know how they used to tell you in school, you know, security guards would come up to me in high school, Eric, and say, Alvarez, what? No cutting, you know that. Get to the back of the line. You can't just have lunch just because everybody else wants lunch, but you want to try and be first. That's the NFL's new thing, too. No more cutting. You can't cut in on a play if the play's already been made, because they will now call that pass interference as well. Now let's talk about the aftermath. Everybody wants to know and was always asking me all week long, what really happened? I said, you got to wait till Friday. You got to wait till Friday to find out what really happened. Well, now that Friday's here, we're live. We are live, right, Eric?
Yeah.
The aftermath of the game was the fact that these officials, for whatever reason, did they try to create their own, you know, little indignation of screwing the Patriots? Because the aftermath is what took place once, you know, the NFL went back to the NFL headquarters where Terry Howie and the guys are there to analyze the game. Well, once those cameras went off in the stadium and went back to where the guys are at, this is the aftermath. Tom Brady and several of the coaches were chasing down these officials, Eric. Tom Brady was furious after the game. He was cussing them out, and the coaches were saying, what the fuck was that shit? Where's the call? And they took off. They all bailed out. That's the end of the game.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say this right now, in defense of the officials, going over some of this, some of the notes that I actually took for this game, I find it weird that Rob Gronkowski was practically held off the stat sheet in the first half and for much of this game.
Wow.
Tony Gonzalez in the first half against Carolina, during the Atlanta game, Tony Gonzalez carried the Falcons offense down the field.
Yes,
so
because
when Carolina's playing those tight ends, those versatile tight ends, you know, they can either be hit or miss. I mean, when they played Atlanta, Tony Gonzalez was all over the field. They played against New England, Gronkowski, they limited him big time.
Well, NFL.com is reporting that Gronkowski wasn't even that far away from the point of the catch, even after
right.
the initial contact. And so now the NFL is saying, well, you know, the play's already been called. We can't actually reverse the call. So, but the NFL, Roger Goodell said that sometime this weekend he's going to have another huge meeting. They had a huge meeting in the offseason back in June with all the officials, even the replacement ones, to actually make sure that they knew the actual rules of the NFL, including the new ones, because Roger Goodell's not sure if these officials even are aware that they have these new rules, some of which I went over. Eric, do you think that these officials actually know that there are new rules now?
Yes. Yes. I think it's kind of hard to, like I said earlier when I was doing the picks, it's hard to hold a rule book with you all the time. You're going to miss calls. It's going to happen. But what you got to do is you got to be consistent. If you're not calling one thing, you just got to make the same call. Like, you got to call something and then call it again on a similar play. You can't just not call certain plays and then that happens again and you're calling it again and you miss it again once and then you miss it, maybe miss it again. And then you hit it, and then you need to be consistent. And I think that's the problem with these officials, that the consistency of the calls, because sometimes it's good to let these guys play, and it is good, but you have to be consistent about this, and it has to be consistent, or you're always going to hear about it, and this is the problem with it,
Yeah, it's time that these officials become even more aware now than they ever were in the past to actually pay attention to what is going on. Because if you watch the video, I've watched it several times, when Gronkowski is trying to prepare to make, the initial play that was right there, took place in the end zone, there's an official standing right next to him. But this was the same official that started waving his hands in the air when the TV cameras were still on and going, that's it, basically telling the entire audience in that stadium that's their way of saying the game's over, and they all took off, and everybody said, where's the call? Everybody agreed that it should have been called pass interference. And why these referees took off like little chickens, no one really knows. But the fact is that they definitely, definitely screwed over the Patriots. So Tom Brady said that he's not really sure if he can go in this Sunday trusting any official now. It's almost like Steve Austin back in the 90s doing his DTA Don't Trust Anybody promo. Tom Brady not trusting any officials whatsoever.
Wow, that's awesome. Combat Zone Wrestling's Facebook page mentioned the Sports Opinion Show on their page.
That is awesome. Thank you, CZW. A representative from CZW will be with us very shortly, but quickly. I just got to go over a few things real quick. And I'm sure some of you have heard this on the radio. I heard it on the radio. I heard that, you know, all the radio stations here in my area, Eric, I'm not sure about yours. I'm not sure about DDP in Texas or Coffee in Minnesota. Hey, Coffee, I got it right this time. But, you know, every radio station this morning was saying, hey, brother, eat your vitamins and say your prayers. Well, that was a bad impression of that guy. You know who I was trying to sound like. Even TMZ broke that. What'd you say?
I was going to say, what you going to do, brother?
Even TMZ got in on the action. When everybody now knows by now, because this is, you know, like almost 8 hours old now, but TMZ has also learned about it, that Brooke Hogan is heartbroken because she's officially single again. Sources close to Brooke tell us that Hulk's daughter ended her engagement to Dallas Cowboys center Phil Costa a few weeks ago after he proposed to Vegas. Yes, back in June. TMZ said, we're told Brooke realized things had moved way too fast, way too soon. So she decided to call it quits and focus just on her music before making things official forever. TMZ also said that their sources told them that Hogan, meaning Brooke, recently she moved back to L.A. to put finishing touches on her new album, and she wanted to be closer to her mother, which is Mama Hogan. So there you go, Eric. Brooke Hogan is available and single just for you.
Shit, nah. Too bad I'm taken. I would not want to deal with her drama. Even if I was single, I would not want to deal with that drama, that headache, and that, what you gonna do? Okay, we're there.
I don't even think DDP would want that. I think DDP would be rather much better off with a better woman. Of course, he might actually like that idea. I don't know.
He doesn't need, he has enough women running after him, he doesn't need another one, And this one would give him a headache, so that's not a good thing.
No, and speaking of headaches, TNA has announced that Genesis, which was previously announced to be one of the four remaining live pay-per-views earlier in the year, will in fact be a special episode of Impact. The show will take place on January 16th in Huntsville, Alabama, for all you Alabamans out there listening. And there has happened to been...
You know, not a bad idea.
What's not a bad idea?
To do those pay-per-views as a free show, because honestly, nobody's paying for them anyway.
Right. We'll get into that a little later on. There has been absolutely no discussion in TNA of signing Hulk Hogan to a deal, not even a short-term limited deal. Hogan being gone is considered a cost-cutting move by the company, as they simply can't afford his price. So this is another thing some of you have been asking me about. Is he back with the company? Is he not? No, those rumors are indeed false, ladies and gentlemen. You just heard me say that they can't afford him. He wants way too much money for what they're asking, and they simply can't do it. And as of this past weekend, there have been no deals struck between Roderick Strong and TNA. At this point, Strong remains committed. He said he solely wants to remain with ROH, Ring of Honor. Apparently, TNA executive... Hold on. Dave Longo has been talking with Strong, as well as other potential new talents. TNA seems to be interested in the best independent workers in the business. including those in ROH and some of Americans in Japan.
And I'm going to say this right now, and I'm going to go quickly into my little rant. For whatever reason, they decided to jump on this ship now. Excuse me, it's a little too late to do this. They should have been thinking about this about a year ago. Hell, a year and a half ago, when WWE started mentioning or the rumblings of the Performance Center. There's no reason that TNA shouldn't have said, well, they're going to sign all these top names. We need to bring in some new, fresh talent. But no, they wanted to decide to waste hard-earned money on talent that is not even relevant anymore. The only reason that they're relevant is because they're in TNA and they're the laughingstock of professional wrestling, in my opinion. And what I saw last night while watching TNA was one of those things where it's like something that you want to forget. Because the opening of the show was, and I'm going to say this very nicely, all right? I'd rather listen to Vicky Guerrero come out and cut a promo to start off a show than that Dixie Carter moron, and I'll call her moron, whatever, but what a moron she is. And, you know, for somebody that's in the wrestling business, she has no right, no reason, and she lacks everything that you need to be a performer, an entertainer, whatever you call it. She lacks everything. She is so bad. I mean, I watched that promo, and she's going, well, there's going to be no death match. You got to please say it and ask me nicely. Like, are you serious? Like, just shut up already. Like, I'm sorry, but the fact of the matter is that nobody cares about you. Nobody. Okay? And you're the reason, Dixie, that the company is going downhill a mile a second, okay, because of you. And for whatever reason, they want to keep on this, we're going to put Dixie in there, we're going to put Dixie in here, no, keep her in the back. Keep her away from TV. Keep her wherever your office is. Just have her on Facebook and Twitter answering questions. Have her do that, because, by God, she's awful.
Well,
okay,
you might be wrong on the whole nobody cares, because Coffee, when you were doing that little, you know, 1 minute rant, Coffee had this to say in the chat room. He said, "I want me some Dixie." So
yes,
I think,
but you know what?
He cares about her.
But you know, I'm going to say this right now. What he's thinking and what I'm thinking are two different things. He doesn't own a wrestling company, number one, okay? He wants her for his own pleasure, okay? And I understand that 100%, okay? I'm going to say it, whatever. Pussy's pussy, all right? And I understand that. But when you're running a company and you're claiming to be a wrestling company, I understand that, you know, she has every right because she owns the company. I understand that, whatever. But when you have no business talking and you are horrible at talking, I mean, geez, I'd rather listen to Vicky talk. Like, I'm actually like I want to see Vicky now. Like, I'm actually happy to see Vicky, because I'm like, God, she's worse.
Well,
I mean, she's a thousand times worse than Vicky was. And I'm out, you know, when they were putting Vicky, excuse me, like, for this, I'm like, oh my God, it sounds so great now. You know, I'd rather hear that. But that's my rant, and everybody has their opinion. Like, everybody has an asshole, everybody has an opinion, and that's my opinion. So I can't really sit there and say that I'm right, you know, and I'm not going to say that I'm the only opinion that matters, because everybody has an opinion. But I'm just saying, like, when you watch a company for the first time in a while, I've been following up on the company reading, and I haven't had a chance to watch it, time restraints and work schedule and whatever. But to watch it, I mean, I'll watch it again. I know, and I'm going to try to keep watching it because I want to, you know, see what they're doing. But for God's sake, do not put Dixie Carter in that opening segment. Sorry. That's my opinion, and for whatever reason they decide to put her. It boggles my mind why they did that, and, you know, it is what it is. I can't really, you know, whatever.
Yes, and Colt Cabana was at the WWE Performance Center again in Orlando for another tryout this week like he was back in June. Officials from WWE are saying that they're considering starting him out on NXT only. Okay.
You know what?
And final...
I have to throw this in there. Everybody better go check out the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana, because honestly, his podcast is awesome. It is, it's very good, enjoyable. I actually got DDP on the listening circle there. Got him to listen to Colt Cabana's podcast that he did with William Regal. He's done a bunch of podcasts with different people. Go over, check out his thing at Art of Wrestling. I Googled that. I don't know if it's... I think it's ColtCabana.com or ColtMerch.com, whatever one. Go buy his T-shirts. Go buy his stuff. Support him. I think he'll be better off with that WWE, in the WWE style.
Yeah. Still with us, Eric? This is Alfred calling Williams. Eric, what has happened to you? You're still live. I don't know what happened with Eric.
I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right.
And with us, joining us on this program as of, you know, right now, we're promoting it and, coming on the show to talk about CZW's biggest show of the year. It's the Cage of Death, and it's, I can't really have a title for him because he does pretty much all their press. He posts a bunch of press releases for Combat Zone Wrestling and various other promotions. I want to welcome to the show Nate Stein. What's going on?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good. Bring you on the verge of CZW's biggest show of the year, like I just said before. And, I got a chance to watch Night of Infamy this afternoon. Or our video now, or whatever that's our video now.com, and I actually ordered it. So was watching that and heard your voice, and I was thinking to myself, hey, why don't I get Nate on?
I appreciate that. I think it's an excellent choice that you would bring me on.
Right, of course. Before we go into CZW, real quick, I got to say this, but. And this is not even independent wrestling, but a couple hours ago, it was announced that Brooke Hogan has called off engagement to the Dallas Cowboys' Phil Costa. Are you interested?
Am I interested in Brooke Hogan, or am I interested in the story?
Oh, no, Brooke Hogan, no, of course. Well, are you,
Of course I would be interested in Brooke Hogan. Why not? I think she's beautiful. I think... she has some talent and maybe needs to be managed a little better.
No, we're not talking about that. I mean, honestly, you work in pro wrestling, all right? And
yeah.
I'm not talking about dating her just because you want to date Brooke Hogan. It's the fact that just to say, hey, I'm dating Hulk Hogan's daughter is the best thing, and that instantly gives you name recognition. Just putting that out there.
I mean, that is true. It would, though. I would feel bad if I was I'm not wired that way to date somebody just for the sake that their father is somebody important. I would want to date a person because they are that person.
Okay, you're being a good guy here, but.
I mean, that's just me. I'm not trying to. I'm not. It's just me.
Well, she's on the line right now. No, I'm kidding. Anyway.
Yeah, you wish.
And she probably is like, "Who the F is this Nate Stein kid?"
And then she'd be like, "Oh, this Eric Williams guy seems kind of interesting."
There you go.
And I'd be like, "Get to the back of line."
Nate Stein and Brooke Hogan, make it happen, Dirt Cheats.
Yeah, don't put that on there. Like, former people in the spotlight like to put themselves in the Dirt Cheats. You know, I'll throw that out there. That's a little shoot there. But anyway, bring you on to talk about the biggest show of the year. Like, I was about to bring up the card, but my internet decided to take a big crap on me, so I'm just going to go off to the top of my head. But
All right. It
is Saturday, December 14th, 7:30, Voorhees, New Jersey. And I will be attending the show live.
As you should be.
Of course. I haven't been to a Cage of Death in a while. I think the last one was the Cult Fiction Suicide Kings Cage of Death, which was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go off of, we'll start from the bottom. You have a card in front of you. We'll just go off some of these matches that, I'll just read them off what I remember. But we have a big match, and it's going to be Shane Strickland taking on Alex Colon for the CZW Wired title.
Correct. There has been a lot of tension between Alex and Shane. Alex has done everything sort of in his power to trick Shane, to belittle him, to manipulate him into feeling like he's less of a competitor. And honestly, Strickland is somebody who I've had my eye on for a long time since he was training at Ground Zero Wrestling down in Richmond, Virginia. So he's somebody I've known for a long time. He's somebody who I know who can go. And I think that Alex is going to be maybe unprepared for a fight. I don't think he's going to be ready to expect the level that Shane Strickland wants to come in at.
Right, but Alex as of recently has really put on some, has gotten some buzz around him. I mean, he won Best of Best this past year, or this year. He's done a lot, and hopefully he can keep that Wired title, but it would be a big step for Shane Strickland to take that title away from him.
Absolutely, and we also have to remember that Alex Colon does not come alone. Being the leader of Murderers Row, the former Four Loko, he also behind him has the tag team of Azrael and Bandito Jr. as well as the beautiful Christina Rivera.
Right. Moving on to I'm saying why this is deciding to be. Sorry about that, but
no problem. Just breathe. It's going to be okay.
Right. Okay, so what else we have going on there? Since my computer can't really go on the card, but I had it and got it too.
Not a problem. We have a six-way scramble match that'll highlight, I think, some of the different styles that we have at CZW. So we have Andrew Everett, A.R. Fox, Caleb Conley, Chris Dickinson, Latin Dragon, and Chuck Taylor in a six-way scramble match.
Yeah, and I'll say this right now, not because, anything personal, but Latin Dragon, another guy who has been going different places. He has traveled to Mexico a few times, and he's put his has done a lot of good things as of recently. I mean, he was working some big matches 2 years ago, and then kind of wasn't seen on CZW's shows for a little bit. He was working some other shows. And that that happened, but he has a lot to prove in this match because he's been there with some of these guys that are just really good. Caleb Conley is another one who's been putting on some good stuff lately.
I agree. I think Caleb is definitely sort of the underdog in this match that, that no one will see coming. I think Latin Dragon, who just got back from Mexico with another appearance with Chilinga Mask, I think he has something great that he brings to the table for CZW. Andrew Everett, I like Andrew. You know, he is definitely quite the high flyer, so you don't know what to expect from him. And Chris Dickinson will knock your friggin' head off.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And he kind of has that attitude that I really like. Then, of course, you have A.R. Fox, who is most recently the CZW Wired Heavyweight or Wired TV Champion. And then you have Chuck Taylor, who is friggin' Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
I'm like, what else can you say? It's Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, Chuck Taylor, yeah. And he's, you know, he's been everywhere, you know.
Absolutely.
And we'll also go off this, another match that should be really good to watch. It's a number one contendership for the World Tag Team titles. It's the Beaver Boys of Alex Reynolds and Johnny Silver taking on Murder's Row of Azrael Bandito Jr. with Chrissy Rivera.
Absolutely. I mean, if for those of you who have been watching CZW over the last several months, not this past month, but before, these two teams have gone at it before, and twice they got match of the night, 2 months in a row. So this is a match that people want to pay attention to. These guys are going to bring it, and they're going to bring down the house. I don't even want to attempt to call it who's going to pull off the win, just because I want to watch this match and be as amazed as everyone else will at the action that happens in the ring.
Right. And you don't want the team that you didn't pick to come after you.
Okay, sure. Let's go with that.
We also have, you know, in pertaining to this, that match, it also pertains to the next match. The CZW World Tag Team titles will be on the line as Blackout, Black G's, and Ruckus with Primo Robbie Marino take on a team that of up-and-comers, guys that really came out of nowhere and really have started to impress over this past year. The juicy product of David Starr and JT Dunn. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Before David Starr was even in CZW, he was working with WXW out of Allentown. And I got to see a match with him. I believe it was like his third or fourth match. And I told people that I was with, I was like, this kid's going to be good one day. I was like, get him. He was working Supremely Gray or SLG. He did a program with SLG. This might have been 2 years ago. And I was, you know, I was really high on this kid. And, you know, he's really done, you know, some good things over this year. But him and JT Dunn get a chance to take the belts off of Blackout.
And David Starr and JT Dunn have a lot of buzz around them right now. And I mean, if I want to talk about probably some of the hottest commodities in CZW, these two guys define that. You have them going up against Blackout, though, and Blackout certainly has established themselves at CZW, has established themselves as a competitor in wrestling. I mean, a year ago we were talking about Black G's being on two national television programs, being on both Impact and on SmackDown. So definitely he has a reputation. Ruckus is a CZW veteran. And being the CZW World Tag Team Champions, you know, they definitely have something that they want to continue to prove to show that, hey, just because these two kids are the hot talk right now, we've already done the talk, and now we're all about the action.
Right, right. It should be good, you know. A win for David Starr and JT Dunn would definitely elevate them big time. Not just in CZW, but all over the Indies, on the independent circuit. Another match that should be interesting to watch, but because of Pepper Parks not being able to compete. As apparently he leads a DDP yoga session.
Yep.
Cherry Bomb has found somebody to take on Greg Excellent, and who may that be?
So, to lead into that, I will say, every week since Night of Infamy, there has been sort of some changes behind the scenes on things. Things that I will say CZW didn't necessarily expect, but we've made the best of the situation. And as those situations change, so does the card for Cage of Death, or what we thought was going to happen, and it just keeps getting better and better, and more people get added to it. So our first sort of surprise entry in the Cage of Death is $5 Wrestling's Freight Train will be taking on Greg Excellent.
Oh, my gosh. That should be interesting. I am looking forward to seeing that. That's going to be one, you know, you want to talk about getting your money's worth, whether it be wrestling or laughter, this match is going to give you both. Because it should be really interesting. I'm not even just talking down on Freight Train, but or Greg. I'm saying that this match should be interesting to watch, and I just want to see how this is going to come out.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if this is a Cage of Death match or not, but it actually is above the Cage of Death match. So I'm not sure if they're doing double cage or what, but DJ Hyde will be teaming up with Sozio and Biff Busick to take on Ohio's for Killers, which is Jake and Dave Crisp and Nevaeh. I don't know if that's Cage of Death or what. I don't know.
No, that is not the Cage of Death. It is a six-person tag match because it's CZW owner DJ Hyde, the front Sozio. So it's not Sozio. It's Sozio and Biff Busick versus Ohio's for Killers, Jake, Dave, and Nevaeh Crisp.
Right. So, and that should be a good match because Ohio's for Killers always puts on some good stuff, and you know, this Busick has been tearing it up lately everywhere. You know, I've been seeing him. I think he just had an Ironman match with Eddie Edwards. I want to say.
Yeah. Yes, he did up at Beyond Wrestling.
Right. I want to say that was yeah. And then Drew Gulak is defending the CZW World Heavyweight title against CZW, returning to CZW after some time of being out, and the one and only Chris Hero.
I'm sorry, who?
CZW savior, Chris Hero.
I'm sorry, who?
It's your savior and my savior.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, I mean, but yes, it's Chris Hero makes his return since, you know, being with that other company. I guess you could say both down south and up north.
The good company.
And being unknown as someone else, and now he makes his return as Chris Hero to CCW to take on Drew Gulak. And it's very interesting the relationship that Chris Hero and Drew Gulak have had. If you want to say, I mean, very much so, and it's been very obvious in the past that Hero was a mentor to Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak, though, is now the CZW World Heavyweight Champion. He's recently defended that title in Germany and in England over at Wrestling Cares in California. And now he's taking on Hero, who's returning back to the independent wrestling scene. I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup. I think for those people who love technical wrestling, they're going to be amazed by what this match brings. And I think we're going to see a little bit of a harder edge from Drew Gulak than we have seen more recently. Because you know that Chris Hero is not going to pull any punches, especially at CZW.
And it is known because these guys do have CZW history because when the CZW and Shikara had a joint wrestling school, Drew Gulak was a member of the very first class under Chris Hero.
So, it's just going to be an amazing match to watch, and this is a match you need to see.
It's a student versus teacher match, in my opinion.
See, I don't want to call it that, because I don't think, when I look at Drew Gulak, I don't see student at all. As a matter
no,
of fact,
I don't see student, but when you see Hero, you're like, I don't know. It's one of those matches where you just got to sit there and, you know, just watch, you know. And, you know, it should be really good. Actually, it should be amazing. And then the main event, it will be Cage of Death. I don't know what structure they're going with. I don't think anybody knows the structure. You know, every year they have something different. But it's going to be the Nation of Intoxication, Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, and Lucky 13 versus Drew Blood, Ron Mathis, Rory Mondo, and Matt Tremont. Did I miss somebody?
No, you have everybody. So right now, it's Nation of Intoxication, the three members, versus the four members of, I don't know what you want to call them, the Lost Boys, the Forgotten Ones, whatever you want to go with. So it is a little bit of a lopsided match. And again, I'm just going to kind of gently mention, so far every week, something has happened to change or adjust plans, and little new additions keep coming. So I will say definitely in the couple weeks we have left before Cage of Death, make sure that you're paying attention to everything at czwrestling.com. Subscribe to our newsletter at czwrestling.com. Join up on our Facebook page, because you're going to get all the latest news and information, especially if there are any, I don't know, updates that might occur when it comes to Cage of Death.
Right.
Was that as evasive as I could be, but subtly plugging? Cryptic,
right.
That's the word I wanted. Was that cryptic enough?
Right. Hey, you got to promote it the way you got to promote it. People will be out there regardless of what happens, who pulls it. Honestly, this is one of the shows that every year you could announce one match and people will still be lining up at the door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the show. And
that's it. So last year we had over 1,000 people showing up for Cage of Death. We're expecting at least that many this year. We've extended the opportunity for those who buy a ticket online through our web store. If you go to czwrestling.com, click on Pro Shop, and it'll give you the link for the ticket sale. For those who purchase their tickets online, they get access at 4 p.m. to a special meet and greet. And there's no additional cost for that if people buy their tickets online. So I definitely encourage everybody to go do that. This is a must-see event. And recently, and I don't know how I get, well, I know how I get brought into these conversations, but sometimes I just sort of roll my eyes in frustration. I will admit freely, a few years ago before I got into CZW, I was one of those people who went, CZW, it's just blood and guts.
Huh.
If you look at this event and go match by match by match, yeah, Cage of Death, okay, totally admit, Cage of Death is going to be a violent, one of the most violent, ultra-violent, hardcore shebangs you've ever seen in your life. But I look at these other matches and go, these are awesome matches for an awesome event that you're going to have high-flying and technical wrestling and comedy and amazing wrestling. And it's all at one place. It's all there at CZW. And for the naysayers who very recently have been, oh, it's Cage of Death, and oh, it's going to be all ultra-violent, and oh, it's just blood and guts, that's not really what you get with CZW. I sort of, in my own life, or my other life, I don't know how to word that, when I go to other events that, quote-unquote, have more of a traditional feel, and I'm like, wait a minute, but there's a War Games match that's on this event, and they don't get heat for being a, quote-unquote, deathmatch or hardcore event, and they have that one solid hardcore match. I look at CZW, and I'm like, they do it well compared to other places that overall they don't know what their product is. And CZW has such a broad scope of a product that really can appeal to a broad-based audience.
Right.
And I hope that's proven by the fact that, well, yeah, granted, Hero is no longer in developmental, but Hero was in developmental, and he was with CZW. John Moxley is Dean Ambrose in WWE. Sami Callihan is now Solomon Crow at NXT. Whatever happened to El Generico, there's Sami Zayn now down at NXT. You know, so much of the talent that has appeared regularly for CZW is now an NXT and WWE. So for people to say, oh, well, they're just nothing but blood and gut guys, apparently don't understand this concept that there is a well-rounded scope of very talented individuals go through and stay at CZW. I mean, CZW has partnerships around the world with Westside Extreme Wrestling in Germany and Fight Club Pro in England and Big Japan Wrestling in Japan. Rockstar Pro at Ohio, Wrestling Cares in California. I mean, we have such a wide scope, and it just burns me now when I hear, oh, it's just this ultraviolet place. I'm not going to deny that there is ultraviolence in CZW, but at the same time, that doesn't just define what CZW is.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't want to keep you longer than you have to be. You probably have a busy weekend, and you know, with everybody in independent wrestling, you know, that's how they make the money on the weekends, and you know, all the, you know. But I'd like to thank you for coming on the show and helping us out and promoting Cage of Death on the Sports Fitness Show.
Anytime.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, that was awesome, Eric. Very awesome. You know, I've always been a fan of CZW. I'm a fan of anything independent. Anything the way it goes. Eric,
right.
Are you going to be going to this CZW event?
I will be there live in attendance. Yes, I will.
All right, Eric will be there. If you live in the New Jersey area, go join Eric, go join Nate, go join CZW. That's the way it works. That is the way it works.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Everybody still wants to know what's going on with who's buying TNA and, oh, that's it for TNA and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm here to tell you right now that with this breaking news story, the first two companies that were interested have pulled out. They no longer want to be a part of helping TNA. That's because TNA got too prideful and they wanted everything in between. But the first partier that was actually interested is still interested. But the problem with this one is, Eric, the first person that's trying to buy TNA is trying to get complete 100% ownership, and you know they aren't having it, especially not Dixie Carter. But that's all because of Jeff Jarrett, because Jeff Jarrett, who's the one who picked up a considerable amount of power in TNA behind the scenes lately. And he would be the one expected to gain even more power if the sale with this first-person partier who's been interested since July and is still interested in helping purchase them takes place. Jeff Jarrett would more than likely be a big factor in getting the deal going. Wow. What do you think about that, Eric?
It's interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I'm looking forward to this story and keeping up with it and seeing who actually buys TNA. And but, you know, then again, with that aspect, I can understand, because if I owned 100% of everything, I don't think I would even want to give up all of control, not even 50% control. That's where they stand right now between each other.
Right.
Well, I tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to take our final commercial break. And when we come back, Dixie Carter speaks out. Plus, I've still got that Trevier question to ask you guys about what took place just about 10, 12 years ago with the history of wrestling that is still to come. All that and a few more things.
I will see all you guys next week. I will be back next week. I have to take care of some business. So I will be heading off. I will see you all next week.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Take care. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick 35th. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Hey everyone, it's that time of year. Yes, yes, yes. In the words of Daniel Bryan, it is that time of year to once again get ready for some fun holiday tradition. But in a cool way of bringing holiday Christmas music right here on the Sports Opinion Show. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a fantastic month of 2013, and ending the year on a very, very high note. I know everybody always wants to say, you did it again, you did it again. Yes, well, this year is probably one of the most awesome years ever for the Sports Opinion Show, that we are going to somehow, some way, we can't discuss that with you now. That's why you always have to pay attention, but somehow, some way, we're going to end the year on a high, high note. So just sit back for the month of December, relax. All you have to do is come here and listen and sit back and relax anyways, right? I tell you, it's Matt Alvarez, Eric Williams. It could be, who knows, somebody else? Maybe a guest host? Maybe AJ Styles will grace us with his presence during the holidays to bring some holiday cheer to the show. It could be the interview that we've been talking about from the one Lenny Melvin. Who's going to be a part of it? What is in store for the entire month of December on the Sports Opinion Show? That's for you to find out. So get ready. Get ready. Tell your friends. Tell everyone you know to come be here every single Friday. This whole holiday cheer thing will start on Friday, December 6th, 2013. The very first Friday of December. You are not going to want to miss it. Because if you miss it, you're going to miss the whole thing. And the things that are still in the work that I'm trying to get us all there, if you know what I mean. So don't worry about anything. Just get ready for an awesome month. And don't forget to get me a Christmas present as well. No, just kidding. Just kidding. You know, that's how it is. You know, I gotta bring some fun, some creativity to the show. As always, for you great fans, don't worry. December's going to be good to you because it was good to me. And ending the year on a high note will be the highest praise for all of you. All of you, thank you very much. And I hope to see you in our chat room for the entire month of December. It's going to be a blast. I hope to see you in the chat room or listening live right here, December 6th, on the Sports Opinion Show.
Man, I love these new Red Button Roast coffees. It is exactly what I need. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Tell me about it. This French vanilla one is a great way to start the day.
Did you just say, tell me about it and then keep on talking? Because I can't really tell you about it if you keep on talking afterwards.
And you did wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
I know. Tell me about it.
New Red Button Roast coffee and premium breakfast burritos. Now available with egg whites. This is how you Sonic.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's crazy. It's really, really crazy. You know, I wish Eric Williams hadn't left because I had one more piece of business to deal with him about Dixie Carter, but that's okay. Because she went on a huge rant this week talking with Sports Illustrated about taking it on the road. She said, we went on the road thinking that if we could sell 1,000 to 500,000 to 200,000 tickets, that we would be very, very good, that we would be okay. We went in a very, very conservative budget. We didn't come out here thinking we'd sell out arenas. Let's be honest, we couldn't. The truth is, we exceeded those budget numbers. We hit our revenue numbers, but we overspent. Then when it came to loading out of the Universal Studio, there was a two-month overlap that actually cost them, you know, to pay for the building. They probably had to pay, you know, a last month deposit, you know, how things go when you're renting somewhere, renting a building. Like if I was to move out of my apartment, they would probably want first and last month's rent, and they would probably keep part of my deposit, and I don't want to get, like, maybe $300 back from the deposit, which is really stupid. That's the whole irony of renting. But anyways, she said we had to try and do different things, going on the road to see if this thing that changes the whole feel and vibe of the show works. If it works, you stick with it. I think we've learned a lot from this. She said, we learned that the show has to be shaken up, not the venue. You just now figured that out. Good grief. Eric Williams was right about you, Dixie Carter. And I'll put it more bluntly than Eric. You suck. But she also said, I'm incorporating reality into storylines through TNA. She said fans want to see things that they think they aren't supposed to be seen. Specific to her heel turn, Carter said she and TNA creative management thought it would be best to let a little more of the company's reality bleed into the show. I don't think Aces and Eights, who are finally done, I hope, was reality-based anyways. They were an incarnation of the NWO, let's be honest. She said also on the talent that was released due to budget cuts, she said they didn't resent. They weren't mad. They didn't even budge or move the needle or try and raise the contract. They wanted something that was good for this company. Sorry, but this company has to be in business 10, 20 years from now, she said. She said, I have to run a company and grow it. I'm to the point where things have to be done a certain way for us now. You know, this whole budget cut thing that she talked about with Sports Illustrated, the first two sentences, I think are bullshit. I know Coffee will agree with me. I'm sure Dee Dee, I'm sure all of you will agree with me on that. What do you mean they didn't resent? What do you mean they weren't pissed off that you were releasing them from their contract? That is such horseshit. Come on, really? If she was to release me from my contract, oh, Matt, you're fired. What would you do if somebody told you, you're fired? We no longer can use your talent or abilities. You know, everybody, I'm sure all the boys in the locker room, the ones that got released, went on a huge tirade. I know because a few of them went on several other wrestling shows to talk about their issues. So I know she's lying there. And she even talked about Hulk Hogan. She said Hulk was worth it. He opened a lot of doors. But in the end, he was asking too much. It wasn't that, you know, there's not another guy out there that could do that, she said. If we did anything wrong with him, we used him too much on television, was her only mistake. She also said if he stayed with us, you would probably have seen less of him anyways. Ooh, that hurts. I wonder what Hogan thinks about this. And check this out. This is the funniest part. On the Panda energy drinks that once supported them, she said that once they got on Spike Television, we changed a lot of things and our revenue grew. We've even had cash flow positive for the last 4 or 5 years. After that point, because of our growth and everything, Panda stopped putting money into our company. She said because they helped us grow, but they also kept us from growing as fast as we wanted to grow. Sounds like a greedy, well, never mind, you get the idea, on surrounding herself with people who know the wrestling business. Funny she should mention this because Eric Williams mentioned this just a little while ago before the great CZW interview. Great job, Nate. We enjoyed having you. She said, that's all any business is. You don't have to know wrestling, she said. That's bullshit. You'll know wrestling eventually. You'll pick up on it. But business is about making good decisions, putting good people around you, and actually managing them. Wait. So she's basically admitting to the world, I don't know a damn thing about wrestling, but I'm in charge around here. So you put a nonchalant person who doesn't know shit about wrestling in wrestling? Matt Broderick is in the chat room. Matt Broderick, getting ready to enjoy a fantastic weekend, I'm sure. DDP said, hell yeah, I would get pissed off if she fired me. Matt Broderick said, wait, what? I'm fired? I think that those two things are funny. The fact that she said nobody was pissed off, nobody resented her when she told them that they're fired from their contract, that she was releasing them. Oh, man. Crazy. But that's enough from her. I mean, if you're really into checking in the full article out, the full thing that she actually went into, just go to your nearest store and buy the latest Sports Illustrated magazine. Everything is in there. Matt Broderick said, I wish I was on vacation again. Oh, that's okay, buddy. You'll get there eventually. Now let's get into this real quickly. Monday Night Raw had presented itself as a backdrop. A new defined aspect of wrestling was coming because due to the fact that, well, they made this, I have to admit, a very, very impressive video package that the Authority is back. They're back in charge, and we're going to make sure that we make some huge changes tonight. And they did. It was pretty good. DDP even mentioned it on Monday night when I was, you know, checking his status information out on social media. He said, this isn't a very good show so far. I believe, Matt Broderick, you even said the same thing. I believe Coffey made some candid remarks related to actual coffee, but I don't think Vicky Guerrero drinks black coffee. I think she likes straight coffee. whatever the hell that means. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I because I'm not an avid coffee drinker like she is. So, yeah. But they had done this a no disqualification Brad Maddox versus Randy Orton match because Triple H had said that it doesn't matter who got out of line last week, everybody's going to pay tonight. And it starts with Brad Maddox, so the Raw general manager put in this whole thing. Even after the match was over, Randy Orton got back in the ring and beat the hell out of him over the head with a microphone. So Randy Orton, of course, wins the match. The Intercontinental title wins even on the line. Big E Langston taking on the one Curtis Axel. And I'm not sure what the actual finish was. I mean, I know it was Big E Langston's new move. I forgot what Michael Cole called it. But it's a very impressive move. And I got to say that the referee that was reffing that match did a very... kind of a quick count there. Was that the way the writers had actually initiated this whole thing? So that Big E Langston could actually become the uncrowned, in some people's minds right now, Intercontinental Champion? I don't know. Then, of course, we went from this big extreme fight between Curtis Axel and Big E Langston to a Divas musical chairs. Which we all know that these things don't work out too well anyways. You talk about a great deal of baggage for WWE to deal out with. That's our subject for today is baggage. Lots of baggage for them. Because they weren't sure how to actually deal with, well, we've got way too many women now in our company. Well, that's simple. Come on, Triple H, I thought you were the brains behind all this. Use them. Use all of them. So, of course, as I said earlier, these things don't work out too well. And the Divas musical chair thing turned into an all-out brawl. Or as us old, you know, fans like to say, in the words of Joey Styles, who actually started it, that's where Jerry Lawler got it from. Jerry Lawler stole it from Joey Styles. Because back then they even admitted, well, we watch ECW, so that's where Jerry Lawler got it from. But in reference to Joey Styles, all we had was a catfight! Catfight! This thing broke down between all these women. And I was like, well, they should, if they don't know what to do with all these women, just make a Survivor Series team between all these 10 women. 20 minutes later, that's what Michael Cole said. I was like, you read my mind. Thank you, Michael Cole. It's about damn time, you idiot. Next up, we have Ryback versus The Big Show. Big Show is the winner. He defeats Ryback in a very upstage contest battle between these two monsters. Not a monster such as Kane, but you get the idea. Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro took on Kofi Kingston and The Miz. Jack and Antonio win. Saying, we the people. The slogan is slowly catching on. It's just Vince McMahon does not want to print this on T-shirts. I don't know why. Vicky Guerrero versus AJ Lee. AJ is the winner with the help of Tamina Snuka, who tried to brave everything Vicky Guerrero. She even tried to fake that she couldn't breathe and that she was having an asthma attack. She needed to go to the hospital. But Stephanie McMahon didn't see it that way. That was the only thing brilliantly done by the creative writing team. Then I don't know why they did this. They weren't even in New York, and they come up with, I don't know how Matt Broderick feels about this, but I know he likes these kind of things. But they came up with a Broadway brawl. Dolph Ziggler versus Damian Sandow. You know, if you wanted to do a Broadway brawl, you should have thought about this crap back in, like, February when they were in the New York area. Anyways, that would have made more sense. Anyways, three-man band took on R-Truth. And my boy from Southern California, Xavier Woods, he was at NXT for the longest time, almost 3 years. They finally brought him up to the main roster. Congratulations, Xavier. All my friends in Southern California, they They took pictures with him earlier this summer. They got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take pictures with him at an independent show because he told them, and they told everybody, they told all of us that I'm friends with them, that, hey, I'm going up to the main roster. I'll be going on Raw, so I won't be coming to independents anymore. So, hey, you know, my friend in Southern California got the chance of a lifetime. Then, of course, we had CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and the Usos taking on, you know, all three of, well, The Shield, and, of course, Bray Wyatt. The Wyatt family members actually had to team up with that. Wow. Wow, that was insane. But anyways, that's what the extra baggage for WWE was for. TNA, let's just very quickly get that out of the way. Bottom line is, where was the pay-per-view quality on Spike TV last night? Talk about extra baggage. You heard me mention what Dixie Carter had told Sports Illustrated. Basically, what she's saying is, we don't really know what the hell we're doing. Well, everybody knew you didn't know what the hell you were doing, Dixie Carter, from the moment you bought. So now Jeff Jarrett returns, and he's got to come back, and he's trying to fix this deal and trying to find new buyers to buy TNA. And now it's all gotten out of hand. But, ladies and gentlemen, before we go off the air, I have a trivia question that I've been telling you about throughout this whole show. What happened this week in wrestling? It took place on Sunday, but it was 13 years ago this week. And if today was Sunday, it would have been 13 years ago today that the most greatest thing ever happened in the world of professional wrestling. Let's get some thoughts from the chat room. Coffee, what do you think the question is? Who made the jump to both companies on the same night? I'm sure Guest 1681 probably knows. Matt Broderick, do you know who that is? DDP? I know. Normally my trivia questions are usually not that hard to figure out. But over the years, I'm like, I got to make it a little tougher. Now I'm starting to act like a damn video game. Which, by the way, I know Matt Broderick has gotten the chance to check out the new WWE 14 video game. He said it's very awesome, but very, very challenging. So maybe that's why I'm decided to challenge you guys more. I don't know. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll just share with you the audio clip. This is what took place almost 13 years ago for wrestling history. Check this out.
Rick Rude appeared on both Raw and Nitro on November the 17th, and it certainly surprised us to a significant degree because Vince and I had been having ongoing conversations with Rick about a new contract and extending his current working agreement. We thought we had come to an understanding and were under the impression from talking with him that we had come to an understanding and was in process of executing the paperwork. His contract at that time was a short-term contract and had lapsed. So we thought we had the contract extended per our conversations with Rick. And then on a taped version of Raw, he was included. And then he appeared the same night on a live edition of Nitro. So it was a little surprising because we thought we had a deal with him.
24 little hours.
You know what? We all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling. What's wrong in the world of professional wrestling is Shawn Michaels claiming to be world champion when he never beat Bret Hart. What's wrong with the world of professional wrestling is for Vince McMahon to instruct a referee to ring the bell in order to rob Bret Hart of his title. But on the other hand, what's right in the world of professional wrestling is for Bret Hart to abandon the Titanic and swim to the refuge of the NWO.
Wow, Rick Rude appearing on Raw and on Nitro, WCW Nitro, on the same night, now almost 13 years ago. And surprising WWE management, they didn't know that he was going to do that. Eric Bischoff was very sly in cohorting him to come join, and he did. So it was very awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, I know I didn't mention it at the top of the show during our NFL segment, but please remember, I'm sure you heard about one of the travesties this week of an NFL Oakland Raiders player. He has been killed this week due to a car accident. I'm not sure of the details, but I will bring those to you next week right here on the Sports Opinion Show. I'm sure everybody is ready for Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to go get fat. We're all going to eat way too much, aren't we? We'll see what happens with that. We'll see how you all feel next week after Thanksgiving. Take care, and thank you for joining me here on the Sports Opinion Show. It was great. Eric did a fantastic, fantastic job with the CZW interview with Nate, running down the December 14th card that they're going to have. If you live in the New Jersey area, go check out that show. It sounds like it's going to be awesome with CZW. Just remember also, ladies and gentlemen, that everything happens for a reason in the world of sports and wrestling, and it all has to do with extra baggage. How much more baggage can WWE and TNA handle, especially with WWE's pay-per-view this upcoming Sunday? We'll find out next week, after Thanksgiving, on the Sports Opinion Show. Take care. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Eddie to the top rope. Eddie cheated. Frog splash. Frog splash. Come on, Eddie. Get it. Do it. Two. Get it. Eddie's the crowd. It's champion.
He looked and he thought dead John Hancock on a brand new 15-year contract. So now what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.